In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Our text is from Exodus chapter 12. Thus says the Lord, "Then they shall take some of the blood of the lamb and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire. It is the Lord's Passover. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." This is our text. It's been a long build-up to the exodus of God's people from Egypt. We've been hearing in this Lenten season the 10 plagues that God sent upon Egypt, the back and forth between Moses and Pharaoh, the promises, the threats. All of them lead to the night of the Passover. In some ways, it seems maybe a little bit anticlimactic. After the hail and the locusts and the darkness, the high point isn't another miraculous wonder. It's a meal. A family meal with food and drink. A meal that starts in slavery and ends in freedom. A meal that begins in the darkness and ends in the light. A meal that takes the people who eat it from the land of oppression on a journey that leads to the promised land. And at the heart of this meal, of this Passover celebration, is perhaps the most unlikely creature of all, a lamb. Lambs, I'm sure you know, don't convey strength or cunning. Lambs don't inspire courage. When we think about the kind of animal we want to be like, we seek to be like a lion and not a lamb. But on this night, it's the lamb that plays a central role. The lamb that is selected, one lamb, we're told, per family, without blemish, the very best, the most prized, and most valuable animal, a male, a year old. The lamb is selected on the 10th day of the month, only on the 14th day of the month to be slaughtered at twilight. Can you imagine the bleating of those lambs as every household takes their lamb to slaughter it? And then the lamb is separated, the blood is gathered together in one place in a bowl, and the body is put in another, not to be boiled. There's going to be no shoving this lamb into a pot of boiling water. Its bones must not be broken. It's roasted whole over the fire. The lamb being selected is a substitute for the family, for the firstborn of the family whose life would be at stake this night. But instead of that firstborn dying, the lamb dies instead. And so the body of that lamb is roasted, and when the meal begins, everyone ready to leave Egypt, they eat the body of the lamb. And they take the blood of that lamb and they paint the doorposts of the house and the lintels above. The house is marked by the blood. So that when the angel of death comes through, when the angel of judgment, when that final wonder and most terrible plague happens, every house that is marked with blood will be spared. The blood of the lamb covers them. A perfect sacrifice, a substitute for those under it, an atonement for their sins. And then they were to remember this year after year by celebrating the Passover meal. God's people gathering together, slaughtering a lamb, eating that lamb, remembering his deliverance. Until the night came when Jesus gathered with his disciples to celebrate his Passover, to take this meal and this remembrance and this deliverance from Egypt and pull it into himself and give it back to the people, his people, again. A lamb that was chosen, not by the family or the head of the household, but by the Father who is in heaven. One lamb for one family, spread throughout time and space. A lamb without blemish. He had no sin. The very best, the most prized, the most valuable one. That lamb who was selected, whose body would be sacrificed, who you might say would be burned under the fire of God's wrath. A substitute for all the people. His blood separated from his body as that sacrifice for his people. And then it was to be given to his people. And this is what Jesus was doing on that night when he was betrayed, having loved his own, loving them to the very end, loving us in a way that we've hardly even begun to fathom. The deepest and greatest love of all, with his whole self, his whole life, with his body and his blood. And our Lord took all of that love and he poured it into a chalice and he put it upon a plate and he said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood, the blood of the perfect Lamb. And this bread," he said, "this is my body, the body of the Lamb, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." This is the day when we remember this marvelous work of our Lord, but even more than remembering it, this is the day when we again receive what Christ has done, when we eat the flesh of the Lamb, and when we drink the blood of the Lamb, that perfect sacrifice for us, that our sins might be forgiven, our death might be defeated, and eternal salvation might belong to us. It is perhaps the most surprising thing that God's ultimate mighty deliverance is not simply by striking down our foes, but it is found in a meal, in a family meal, a meal that binds us to our Lord and that joins us to one another, a meal of his love, which is poured into us, placed into our mouths, and then his love, which is having its way with us, at work in our own lives. Why does he do this? Why does he give himself to us like this? It is to lay claim to our bodies and to our blood, to purify us and make us new, so that we may be like the sheep of his flock. Not sheep that are led to the slaughter, but sheep that are gathered in his green pastures, that are fed by his still waters. Sheep that follow him, hear his voice, go with him through death to life, through sin to perfection, through danger into security. Through this meal today, your Lord Jesus Christ is delivering you from bondage. He is taking you from slavery. He is giving you the life that never ends. Amen. With his body and his blood, he claims you as his own and marks you so that death has no power over you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen.